Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation. We're live at training camp, and Stephen Jones is coming up here in just a second. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's also brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online at frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Steve's coming up here in 3 minutes. How about some Jake Ferguson cuts? Here he was. He was on with Sean and RJ this morning, and they asked him, why not wait to get an extension and get more money? Here we go.
I think I knew what I wanted, and then at the same time, I knew where I wanted to be. I've said this from the jump. This is the place I want to be. It's a privilege to wear this star and to play for this team. So just knowing that and, like, also a little bit of it is like quality of life. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I love it here. I love Texas. I love the people in Texas. It reminds me of home, like where I grew up. So it's starting to feel like home for me.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know why you wouldn't want to find all those guys at the NFL. Like, who wants to be in Dallas? Who wants to be with the Cowboys? And who's willing to take less? I think a lot of players will not be able to be happy unless they know they've extracted maximum value in a contract. But there's a lot of guys out there, Brian, and we've seen them over the years that just want to be here.
Yeah, you know, Wisconsin guy and all that, you know, the upbringing, Midwest and all that. A lot of it is about being able to find a happy spot.
Yeah.
Very much find a happy spot.
Yes, and he has found a happy spot, and we have a happy spot for Stephen Jones here on the tennis courts.
How
here
we're
doing outstanding. We're live on 105.3 The Fan, and Stephen Jones sitting down now, putting the headset on in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat, wildforkfoods.com, elite game day grilling favorites. And it's great to see you. How the heck are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Doing awesome. Off day business. What's going on back there?
Yeah, just normal course of business, catching up on some meetings internally with Coach Shoddy and Will and Jerry and myself, and typical off day.
Right on. Well, it's been very busy, and there's a lot of stuff to keep track of. But, you know, what I really wanted to ask you is, have agents figured out your guys' pattern, and are they using it against you?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel comfortable. I mean, we got Dak signed. We got CD signed. We got Jake Ferguson signed early. We got Osa signed. You know, every timing's different. Every negotiation's different.
Well, I guess
and
what I was
so I don't think there's necessarily a any type of thing to figure out here.
Okay, so from my perspective, if you want to go early and you take less than what you would get in free agency, you guys are very willing to do those deals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been that way for a while.
Sure.
But if it's a really great player and they want to wait, I don't think they have any fear that you guys will actually move on.
Okay, well, I mean, that's to each his own. And certainly, like I said, we've had two, if you will, great players, getting paid highest at their position when we did the deal, and Dak and CD, and we decided we wanted to do deals with both of them. And then obviously we're in the middle of another, high-profile player, but, each one of them's different in my mind.
Okay. All right. Case by case basis. I can definitely understand that. From poker, and I'm a poker player. If the table knows your pattern, it's time to change the pattern.
Yeah. You and I'll just have to agree to disagree. I don't think there's a pattern here. How many ways do you want me to say it?
Well, I guess three is good enough.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So then my next question, just team building wise, is why not? I mean, with all the good players on the team, why not pick one of these years to say, let's throw another $30 million at this thing and shore up all of our weaknesses and really go for it?
Right.
I think the teams in today's NFL that are winning it don't have the holes that maybe they did in the 2000s. Like, there were a bunch of wild card teams getting it done, but I don't think wild card teams are getting it done anymore, Stephen.
Sure. I think, the question is, when you talk about $20 or $30 million, the question is, does it go to Jake Ferguson and any other guys that we want to sign versus what might be available out there? And we make a decision that we want to go internally versus externally. That's a decision that we have to make. And at the end of the day, over the course of a 5-year period, every team that spends to the cap like we do is going to spend the same amount of money. Can you push more into 1 year and leverage out and push out? Of course you can. But over the course of a five-year period, every team, there's a salary cap, and every team's going to spend to it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's fair. I think Philadelphia is really an outlier, so I wouldn't ask you to do something like that. But are you guys resistant to a yo-yo of, like, we're going to spend a bunch here, we're going to clear dead money and get a good draft pick? Does that does that strategy not make sense?
Well, it can in the right situation. You know, I just think every – you know, I don't think there's very many teams out there that are one player away. And, you know, I think you have to manage your team. You have to strategize on what you want to put together. And, you know, we feel like we've checked a lot of boxes in terms of internally thinking that we have you know, fill the holes that we need to fill to be a great football team.
Okay, and I appreciate you answering these questions. I'm not trying to ambush you.
You're not.
Okay, so like during the season or around the calendar, we'll be having these conversations, and, you know, there's these questions that pop up, and I feel like, to be fair to you, I should give you a chance to answer the questions here on the show.
Sure.
Because I don't want to be, you know, talking bad about you behind your back and then not. But another thing I had.
You wouldn't do that, would you?
No. Maybe in the name of entertainment.
I'm disappointed.
Hey, and I need to give you and Jerry your props for letting us cook.
Yes.
You know, it's rare to find a flagship radio station that can share honest opinions as much as you guys give us the freedom to at the fans.
Sure.
So thank you for that. Okay, so then my third question here is, I have a theory that maybe you guys drag out the deals to get engagement from the media. Well, and it's like the best $2 million you can spend having to give Dak a few more.
Well, let's just start off. We don't agree on that. We don't drag deals out. We do deals when there's an opportunity to do a deal. And certainly no one knows what goes on internally with a particular negotiation. But, you know, sometimes agents and players aren't ready to pull the trigger till they see other cards play. Mm-hmm. And what we're not going to do is go out and, you know, do something that's not responsible in terms of, you know, just in the name of getting a deal done 1 month earlier. Go do it and pay the guy another $5 million of your cap space.
Yeah.
And especially when you're dealing, in our particular case, you know, internally with guys that are homegrown here and we feel like they want to be here. I always felt like Dak wanted to be here. I always felt like CD wanted to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there's so much information that's out there. Adam Schefter was reporting, you know, this morning. He was talking about maybe Micah felt like a deal was close, and maybe you guys felt like a deal was close. I think that's what Adam Schefter said this morning. And then the progress stopped, and Micah's like, well, call me, right? And I'm like, well, why would they not just get this thing done if Micah really wants to be here? And I guess one is that he would have to take significantly less than market value for you guys to want to do that contract with him now. And the other would be, I mean, it is probably tens of millions of dollars in free brand awareness.
A lot of the things you just said are mostly inaccurate.
Okay. How so?
I'm not going to get into the details of a negotiation, but I'm just saying 90% of what you just said is inaccurate.
All right, that's fair. It's Stephen Jones here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you for answering those questions.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
Stephen, I was going to ask you about, we had George Pickens on yesterday, and it was really a pleasure to get to talk with him. The decision to go out and make that deal, to go out and make that trade, how did that all come about to target that particular player and how it got you to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously getting a receiver, a number 1A, 1, 2, 1, you know, whatever you want to characterize a great receiver as, obviously was a priority in the draft. Unfortunately, it did, you know, the pieces didn't fall our way.
Sure.
The guys we were interested in would go, you know, before we were ready, or we didn't think at the time we were picking the receivers that were on the board were worthy or did what we needed them to do. So, you know, we really felt like we needed – you know, that was still a glaring need for us, is to go find that George Pickens-type receiver. And, you know, the great news is it came together for us. And we were able to make that deal. And certainly if we had, you know, picked a receiver early in the draft and one would have fallen to us, then we probably wouldn't have been as interested in doing something like the George Pickens deal.
Well, the Pickens trade, Elam, some of the other signings, they were former high draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
So how much into that are you going back to your old notes, what you thought of them coming out of the draft? And then at what point into a player's pro career does that maybe not hold as much weight because you've got to reevaluate them as a pro versus what you thought coming out of school?
Yeah, we use both. We get all the information we can gather. Obviously, we go back to our original scouting reports on the player, his football character, all the things that we look into. And then we put the pro grade on him as well, and then we factor that in. I mean, we've had success with this. I mean, obviously, we had a real high grade on Hooker, and Hooker's been a great player for us in terms of, what he's done for us. When we have guys that we had first-round grades on, we've had a lot of confidence in the way we've drafted and have success in that draft room. And so we do go back to that. But certainly, we also put a heavy portion of the grade, if you will, on his pro grade and how he's played. And, some of these guys, obviously, you're getting them for a lot less because, they didn't work out with that particular team.
Now, how much of a relief was it yesterday to get that Guyton news?
Oh, whew. Well, I mean, we spent a half a day just in the tank. I mean, it really was a tough situation. It just, it shows you how fragile this game is, and he's having a hell of a camp. And, I'll say this, Dr. Cooper's pretty accurate at diagnosing those, and he doesn't miss many of them. But he was smiling ear to ear when he got to call us and say, I was wrong on this one. It's intact. So it was a huge, huge plus, not only for obviously us, but the, just the organization, the coaching staff smiling ear to ear today. It's just because he was making really great progress out there, and he'll continue to do that. Mm-hmm. I think he's certainly learned a lot, matured a lot. I think this new coaching staff's really helped him. Not that Coach Solari wasn't a great tool for him as well, but I think they're straight up with Tyler, and I know he'll respond well and do the rehab he needs to do, and hopefully even beat the prognosis and get back even earlier.
Are you guys looking externally at all, or is that an internal patch?
We always looking for for help, and we'll continue to look for ways to make our team better. And but we do have guys. One guy I'll point out, and he's probably going to go with ones, until we get Tyler back, is Nate Thomas. He's having a really good camp for us. He's exceeded expectations. He's serious-minded about what he's doing out there, and the coaches are really liking what he's doing out there. So, we do feel like we've got some good players there that can certainly do the job.
Steven, Jerry never pulls punches. And, he's talked about with the stuff. And I wanted to ask you how much this has changed throughout your career of players like Diggs working elsewhere. And how has that adjustment been for you? Where before it seemed like that always the injured players were always within the organization. But now it's changed. How have you had to adapt to that? And is it something that we're going to see more of in the future?
No, I hope not. Because I think a player is much better off training with us than he is somewhere else. I just think the discipline to come in every day, do the work, is there when they're here. Now, obviously, with league rules, there's certain things that are mandatory and certain things that aren't. But one thing we can do, which we'll continue to do, is put in every player's contract, especially guys that we, pay significant amounts of money. We expect leadership, and we expect them to be here. And certainly we address that. With Diggs, that he certainly paid a price for not being here. But we're paying a price, too, because we felt like he might be further along had he done his rehab here. He may differ with that. Right. But had he done his rehab here, we feel strongly that he would be further along. And that's in the best interest of the team and the organization, and comes with getting a big contract, which he received.
Yeah, I've known from my own personal experience of working with Britt Brown, with working for you guys, that he's one of the best in the league. And so I couldn't imagine being somewhere else. But is there differences? Does players have differences, you think, with your training staff? Is that kind of why they're maybe going elsewhere?
I mean, other than Diggs, everybody was here.
Sure.
So I don't know who you're talking about other than
Diggs. Well, Diggs, I'm saying with Diggs, though. Do you think there was a difference there? Do you think there's a difference in
– I think every player is different, Brian. I think obviously when we sit down and we talk about paying a player, giving him a big contract, this is discussed at length with the player and the agent. And so we do have expectations. And, by the way, he's the only guy I know of that wasn't here doing their rehab because they feel like it's in their best interest.
Yeah, were you as surprised as we were that he was willing to just leave that money on the table? we were all just
he was notified, he was told, he was it wasn't a surprise. He knew when he missed the first day. You can imagine Coach Schottenheimer was, you know, really wanting him. He said, "You don't want to lose this money. Yeah. That's a lot of money you're talking about." And, you know, he made a conscious decision to do it, and we have to respect that. That's his, certainly in the CBA, that he can do that.
Man, you guys, it looks like you just nailed this pick with Ezeraku in the second round, and I love this story of Aaron Whitecotton on the table for him at 12. How surprised were you 32 picks later?
Well, we were surprised. And really, you know, believe it or not, that's not, you know, it was just a blinking light. And, you know, we were thinking receiver. We were thinking a lot of different things. But when you have a player that you have rated highly and they fall to you like that, then, you know, that's when we've made our best picks. I mean, we weren't thinking receiver when we picked C.D. Lamb, but he was a blinking light up there in terms of, you know, being a great player. Same thing with Micah. You know, when we drafted him, you know, there's just some guys you have to take because the grades say you take them. And of course, you know, the great thing about Donovan is, you know, as good a football player as he's displayed out here, he's a better man. And does everything the right way, works his ass off. Everything's a plus with him.
Was that report about Jadon Blue? And I know, I don't know if you saw it or not, but talking about him in the organization, someone saying he was lazy and all that, that to me holds absolutely no water at all. With I don't know where Glenn Smith gets these things like that, but nothing from the Cowboys side of things ever like any negative of what Jadon Blue, and you're just getting to know the kid, really, right?
Well, whenever, you know, a lot of these guys come from different cultures, different environments, and then they have to adapt to what our culture is going to be. Obviously, our culture's changed with Coach Schottenheimer.
Sure.
And so he has expectations, and these guys ultimately get a feel for what it takes to be a pro, what it takes to be a Cowboy, and what we expect. And, you know, we're not going to talk about those things, but I would say, you know, there's always a couple of players, three or four players that, you know, are just figuring it out in terms of what the expectations are about being a pro, and that comes with the territory.
What was it about Ferguson that made you guys want to go ahead and make the deal, especially after last year's a little banged up? But I guess there's a confidence that moving forward, he's going to be highly productive.
Well, we think he's going to be very productive. And, of course, somebody like a George Pickens is only going to help him.
Right.
Because there's going to be some distractions away from Ferguson.
Yeah.
That maybe, you know, he was probably our number two target last year after CD. And but, you know, his football character special. Mm-hmm. Jake, he plays the game the right way. He does everything the right way. He wants to be here. Certainly, he's respected supremely by his teammates, starting with the quarterback, which is important as well when the quarterback thinks so highly of somebody. And, you know, he saw what happened, you know, with Schultz, who we really thought a lot of. Right. And, you know, he decided, hey, I want to be a Cowboy. I don't want to be playing it out and then maybe going somewhere else. He wants to wear a star and be a Dallas Cowboy, and he represents all the things, you know, that we want in a Dallas Cowboy.
Deron Bland mentioned after practice yesterday that there had been some talks, maybe getting his deal done. We've often talked about, like, outside versus inside with Deron Bland because he's shown that he can play both at a high level. Do you view him either or, and is he maybe next up to get this thing inked?
Well, he's versatile, and anytime you're versatile in this league, it's valuable. And, you know, he's a guy we think a lot of. And certainly if he's willing to share that, it's probably accurate.
Good.
So that's
nice.
A good thing. But, you know, not to be defensive to our conversation, I mean, we have these talks. We're not a team necessarily that waits. And, you know, at the end of the day, to ultimately get a deal done, you've got to finally get to a point. And there's reasons why some of these guys want to wait, and a reason why some of them, I mean, we did Dax deal a year early. He still could he had a contract, could have played it out. But you know, I just you know, that's something that we're always looking for opportunities, and it's not necessarily because you can get a bargain on them. It's just because, hey, they decide that they want to go ahead and take care of themselves, and you never know, you know, when something happens like yesterday and it's not good results. And you know, you wake up and a player gets injured, and he says, damn, I wish I would have gone ahead and done my contract. Because sometimes it can affect your value. If you sit out a year and you're coming off a major knee injury, you can, you know, it can hurt your value.
Steven, I you did an interview or a little talk after one of the meetings at the owners' meetings there, and you said, hey, I don't want to answer any more questions about it. It was talking about some contract stuff and all that. I sensed there, and that's just my observation, I sensed a level of frustration with agents not allowing you to do something you're really good at, and that's negotiate. Do you sense, do you get, I mean, and I'm not saying you're calling out agents. I'm calling out agents for you because I honestly.
It takes two to tango.
No, and I'm watching it and I'm saying, I've worked for that man. He's frustrated. He can't do something he's good at because they're not allowing him to do it.
Well, I would say this. I just think all agents have different styles.
Sure.
And, you know, not everybody, not all styles are styles you like.
Right.
But they can still be very effective.
Sure.
And so, you know, I just, at the end of the day, in my mind, and I think in Jerry's mind, these agents work for these players. And the player has to decide what's important to him.
Right.
And I do think these agents are very, very smart. I think they understand it now more than ever. And I think they have to lay it out to the player, and then the player has to make a decision of where do I want to go with my business here.
Right.
And do I want to push the envelope? Am I willing to be, you know, Dak's the ultimate guy who was willing to bet on himself every time. And he just wasn't concerned about it. There's other guys who want to get the business in the rearview mirror and get it behind them. Both ways are can be good. And so I really don't, you know, I'd say very, very, very few agents do I have a problem with.
Right.
And so I can work with them. We can talk. We can. But timing can be really important, and especially to the agents. And sometimes they're laying out to the player, hey, let's let a few more cards play before we make a decision, which you have to respect. And you can't push the issue.
I just sense frustration, and that was just my observation. But
well, it's you know, obviously it's a lot of money this day and time.
I
understand it. Yeah. It's generational money for these guys, and they handle their business the right way. Yeah. It's great for them. And hats off to them. They get what they deserve, and you go from there.
Get back to Texas and get some brisket Sandoz.
Yeah,
and,
we always try to sell them on that. Hey, there's no state taxes in Texas. Cost of living's good. I mean, you can imagine all that comes out of our mouth when we're trying to get that price down a little bit.
Seriously, though, how much do you look forward to a brisket Sandoz when you're away from Texas?
I miss it.
Right,
I do. I do miss my barbecue, I promise.
Well, Steven, thank you so much for being so generous with your
time.
And answering all our questions. Give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. Steven Jones, Cowboys COO here on your home of the Cowboys. We're back with Jared Sandler talking baseball with you here on The Fan. Thank you, sir.